From NPR News, this is live coverage of the Florida primary. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Audie Cornish. All polls have now closed in Florida, and NPR is projecting Governor Mitt Romney the winner.
In a contest marked by negative advertising and arguments over health care, taxes, and immigration policy, Governor Romney stages a comeback after his loss to Newt Gingrich in South Carolina.
We'll look at who voted for whom.
I voted for Newt Gingrich.
Ron Paul.
We voted for Romney.
Mitt Romney, I voted for.
Gingrich.
Romney. Everyone has their faults. His are less.
And we'll have analysis from across Florida and from here in our studios.
It's special coverage of the Florida primary from NPR News.
Joining us in the studio is NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving. Ron, the polls have just closed in all of Florida. Mitt Romney's the winner. Who voted for him?
Mitt Romney is the winner among people who were primarily women. He won among women. He held his own among men. He did well in all income groups, but particularly among the more affluent, got over 60% of the vote in the highest income group. He did well more or less with all age groups. Really, the only groups that did not vote for Mitt Romney in Florida today were the people who said abortion was the number one issue. Mm-hmm. He actually finished third among that group. The people who described themselves as born-again white and evangelical voters, white evangelical born-again voters, and he broke about even with people who describe themselves as Tea Party voters.
Geographically, in the very diverse state that is Florida, did Romney win all over?
Not quite all over. We don't know yet exactly how he did in the panhandle. That's the portion of the state which is in the central time zone, and therefore the polls there have just closed. The numbers we're seeing, and this is a highly unusual circumstance, we're seeing almost 60% of the actual vote already having mm-hmm. been counted, even though no polls closed until about an hour ago. But we're getting a very rapid count. A lot of this came in early. A lot of it was vote that came in before the actual primary day. And we're seeing a tremendous outpouring of results here, which is a highly unusual circumstance, that corroborates the evidence we had earlier from exit polls and, of course, from the polling that's been going on for the
past
week.
Yes, and we should say for those listeners with long and unpleasant memories, it's not the media jumping the gun on the vote count. The counties were reporting their votes while the polls were still open in the panhandle, the central time zone portion of Florida.
That's correct.
NPR's Ron Elving, thanks. Stick with us. Audie?
We're going now next to the Tampa Convention Center in Tampa, Florida, where NPR's Ari Shapiro is at the headquarters for the Mitt Romney campaign. Hey there, Ari.
Hey, Audie.
So describe the scene there for us. I feel like people are waiting for their candidate to come out soon.
There was literally a 10, 9, 8 countdown, the way you hear on New Year's. It was not a countdown to midnight. It was a countdown to 8 p.m. when people knew the results would be coming in. And when the results came in, there was this huge cheer. I can tell you, I've been at Romney headquarters now in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Florida. It's never sounded like it did tonight. People are really, really happy with the outcome.
And obviously very different from South Carolina, right? Really a lot of ups and downs this year for this campaign.
Unbelievably, you know, for Mitt Romney had kind of chugged along from the very beginning as the more or less front runner with these other people, Michelle Bachmann, Herman Cain, Rick Perry, et cetera, popping up and down. And then it seemed initially like when votes started coming in, Mitt Romney was a solid front runner, looking as though he had won Iowa by a squeaker and then New Hampshire by a huge margin. But then it turns out he had lost Iowa by a squeaker and he lost South Carolina by a huge margin. People now feel, perhaps accurately, perhaps not, that the Romney train is back on track and headed to the nomination.
Ari, give us an idea of how Romney did recover from that South Carolina loss.
Money. Lots and lots of money. Millions of dollars pumped into advertising in a state that is just too big to shake hands with everyone. And so you have to have the county-by-county infrastructure. You have to have the resources to spend $1 million a week on advertising. Romney had all of that. You know, he did the events. He focused on housing. He had two great debate performances. He attacked Newt Gingrich, but he also just had the infrastructure and the cash to really compete across the entire state.
And you... I hear a little
more cheering
there,
in the
Ari.
Background as we get more of the detailed results, and their hopes are confirmed.
Have you seen any changes in Romney himself? How has he developed as a candidate overall?
He has shifted from being the kind of above-the-fray guy who does not want to engage with the other Republicans in the race to really realizing that, well, as he put it in a press conference earlier today, if you're attacked, you can't just sit back, you have to fight hard. And that's exactly what he's done, never missing an opportunity to go after Newt Gingrich in one of his rallies yesterday. Not 30 seconds into his stump speech, he was attacking Newt Gingrich. He said he would have liked to have focused more on President Obama in Florida. Gingrich just would not allow that. Now, the question going forward is, how much has that harmed Romney for what may be a general election fight looking ahead to the fall?
That's NPR's Ari Shapiro at Romney headquarters in Tampa, Florida. Thanks, Ari.
Talk to you soon, Audie.
And Audie, back now to NPR's Ron Elving here in the studio. We've heard about Mitt Romney, the projected winner in the Florida primary. Let's talk a little bit about Newt Gingrich, who's coming in second here. This has been, once again, a rather precipitous decline for the former Speaker of the House. He looked a lot stronger than this in South Carolina.
Just 10 days ago, we saw an entirely different set of numbers from the Republicans in that state favoring Newt Gingrich in many of these same categories. He seemed to be winning across the board, except for a very small group of categories. He had persuaded the people of South Carolina that, among other things, he was the man to take on Barack Obama. That particular distinction tonight went definitely to Mitt Romney in Florida.
Voters for whom it was very important that they select someone who can beat Barack Obama went for Mitt Romney. Thanks a lot, NPR's Ron Elving. This is our coverage of the Florida primary. From NPR News, this is special coverage of the Florida Republican primary. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Audie Cornish. Mitt Romney strikes back. NPR projects that the former Massachusetts governor has won Florida. That's after a big loss to Newt Gingrich in South Carolina. In Florida, NPR projects that Gingrich will finish second.
In our coverage tonight, we're hearing from surrogates for the candidates, from our analysts, and also from our correspondents, and from some voters now, voters we encountered in Florida today.
My name's Steve Walensky. I went with Newt Gingrich.
I'm Jane Hayes. I'm a conservative, and that's why I can't be for Romney. He's just not a conservative. And Newt is, or he's more conservative, I put it that way.
I'm Thelma Wells. Romney, I just think he's the best against Obama.
Walter Keller, live in Safety Harbor.
Peggy Keller. It's probably Romney. I'd probably go for Newt, but I don't think he could win, unfortunately.
Well, that voter was correct today. Newt Gingrich didn't win. Florida has gone to Mitt Romney.
We turn now to Congressman Mario Diaz-Balart. He's a Republican congressman from Florida's 21st district and a supporter of Mitt Romney. Hello there, Congressman.
Good evening.
So to begin, can you talk a little bit about the significance of Florida in this primary race? Obviously, you guys took a lot of heat for doing this sort of winner-take-all and moving up your primary date. Has it been worth it?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I know that the state legislature, the legislative leaders took a lot of heat for that, and I think it was worth it. I think it makes sense. The reality is that Florida is the first large state with the diversity that Florida has of all the elections that have taken place so far. It really almost reflects the United States. Whatever you have in the rest of the country, we have in Florida. We have, you know, wealthy people, poor people. We have seniors. We have Hispanics. We have African Americans. We basically have, by the way, we have Southerners, and we have Northerners, and we have Midwesterners. So if you can win Florida, that really, frankly, says a lot. And I think it was a very good night for Governor Romney, but I think it was also important for Florida because, frankly, the presidential candidates spent a lot of time there. They know the issues. They focus on the issues in Florida, and I think that can only help Florida.
Congressman, Mitt Romney has suffered through a lot of ups and downs over the last couple of weeks. Can you talk about how you feel about this sort of long primary process and how your candidate's doing?
Well, I'm very pleased that Governor Romney did so well, and it looks like he did very well among, frankly, you know, all of Floridians, and I think that's important, and that would be an important thing if that is in fact what the results show. Look, I think one of the reasons that there's two main reasons why Governor Romney, I think, has done very well in Florida. Number one is, borrowing the phrase from Bill Clinton, it's the economy, stupid. It is the economy. And I think the American people are going to be looking for a turnaround artist, somebody who knows how to get an economy that's not doing very well. It's, frankly, in really bad shape. And today, the Congressional Budget Office, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, just released a report which, frankly, is not looking good for the future years.
Congressman, I want to ask you about one more thing.
Sure.
Latino voters make up more than 11% of the Republican registered voters there. Can you talk about how the candidates were playing to them in Florida and how that will affect them going forward?
Yes, and it looks like Governor Romney did very, very well there. And again, this is very early, so, you know, I may be wrong, but it looks like he did very, very well there. And I will tell you why. A couple reasons. Number one is, again, going back to if all Americans are concerned about the economy, about the lack of jobs, about the lack of jobs being created, well, Latinos in Florida and around the country are even more concerned. You know, unemployment among Latinos in Florida is almost 14%. It's above other communities. So that is the number one issue. And so the person who the American people are seeing, are believing, is a person who can turn the economy around, who understands how the private sector works, who understands how the economy works, and understands how to create jobs, is, I think, going to do very well. I think that's why Governor Romney has done very well in Florida, and I will tell you that's why I think he's going to do very well ultimately in November.
That's Congressman Mario Diaz-Balart. He's the representative from Florida's 21st Congressional District. Congressman, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
And now we're going to turn to Gingrich headquarters in Florida. NPR's Don Gagne is there. Don, we can see that Mr. Gingrich has come in second today. It doesn't appear to be the close race he was hoping for, the single-digit lead. It's too early to project a margin. But how are people there putting, if they are, putting a brave face on this showing?
The numbers went up. The projection went out right after 8 o'clock, and there was just silence in here. People kind of looked at the screen, shrugged. I can also tell you, Robert, obviously this is no surprise since it's right in line with what the polls were projecting. But there aren't more than 50 or 60 people here now. If you count the press, it gets a lot bigger. But it's a small crowd, and people are just kind of milling around. There was never any great expectation tonight.
On the other hand, just a week ago or 10 days ago, this seemed like perhaps the great opportunity for Newt Gingrich to be the undisputed leader in the race for the Republican
nomination. Well, that is the thing. When you talk to people here, the first thing out of their mouth is they say they're just disappointed. They are disappointed. They had hoped that his message would be able to cut through here. They had hoped that the boost he got from South Carolina would help offset his lack of an organization here and the lack of money he has to run a real big-time campaign in a big state with lots of media markets. And they just kind of shrugged and said, well, we had hoped, but there is a sign on the microphone where on the podium where this we'll hear from the speaker in the next half hour. It says 46 states to go, and that sentiment is definitely strong here. Nobody here wants him to drop out. They feel with time they will be able to reveal things about Mitt Romney that will lead people to turn to Newt Gingrich. That's what you hear from his supporters.
But Don, 46 states to go, meaning we've only had primaries and caucuses in four states so far. If the Gingrich campaign couldn't compete with money in Florida, if it was outspent so dramatically in all the advertising that went on, why are they going to be any more likely to be able to compete in the states coming up now?
It's all about exploiting what they see as Mitt Romney's ideological vulnerabilities, the things in his record. Obviously, for them to be pointing to the convention after this big loss in a big state here tonight, saying, hey, 46 to go, this is just one loss, they're putting a real spin on it. Nobody sees it as anything but that at this point.
Okay, thanks, Don. It's NPR's Don Gagne, right. At Gingrich headquarters in Florida. Audie?
And joining us in the studio is E.J. Dionne, Washington Post columnist and senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, and Matthew Continetti, contributing editor for the Weekly Standard. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good to be with you.
So to start, whatever happened to the Post bump, you know, the bounce you're supposed to get after you win a primary? It seems like this year that's not really a thing.
No. Well, you know, it's plain Mitt Romney won Florida, but the question is, when did he win it? And we look at the exit polls and you see Mitt Romney banked a lot of his vote early on. When you ask the Republican voters, when did you decide who you're going to vote for? Plurality, 40% of them say before this month, actually. So that definitely helped Romney. He won in all groups, but that's his largest margin. So he kind of had this in the bank. And now it comes at a very good time because it kind of reestablishes this narrative of Romney as the inevitable front runner who's marching toward the nomination.
EJ?
Money, 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 I think is the answer. Mitt Romney knew that if he lost Florida, his whole candidacy would be in jeopardy. He had to take down Newt Gingrich in Florida, and he did. He outspent him about 5-1, Romney and allied groups. Almost all of the advertising was negative against Newt Gingrich, and it had an effect. In the exit poll, nearly 40% of Republicans had an unfavorable view of Newt Gingrich. If you looked at those voters who said advertising was important to them, they voted more than 2-1 for Mitt Romney. But there may be a longer-term cost in this. Another thing out of the exit poll, nearly 40% of Republicans, these are Republican primary voters, said that they wish there had been another candidate on the ballot. And among very conservative voters, about a third of those, Newt Gingrich beat Romney handily. So, yes, this is a huge victory for Romney because he had to get it. But there are some warning signs in here for him. It doesn't mean Newt Gingrich is going to win the nomination. It does suggest that in some of the states, particularly in the South that vote later on, Romney could still face some challenges.
Do you get any sense, though, that some of these early warning signs in the polls for Florida that Gingrich should have caught somehow?
Well, I mean, Gingrich knew that he was going to be outspent, and that was going to be a challenge for him. But also, Newt failed to capitalize on his victory. I mean, he did not. He went on a much more almost vindictive, vitriolic message of anti-Romney, as opposed to giving Republicans reasons to change their minds and vote for him. When it came to an affirmative agenda, Newt always talks about big changes, big ideas. But when it gets to specifics, well, his most prominent agenda item was his lunar colony. Well, I mean, one thing I was struck about from the exit poll as well is that this was a very, very evenly divided Republican electorate. You had about a third of the very conservative, a third of the most important group, the somewhat conservative, and a third of the moderates. And this is actually a pretty good template for Mitt Romney, not only going forward in the Republican primary, but also in the general election. Because, I mean, honestly, if you're a very conservative voter, you're not going to vote for Barack Obama, and you'll probably make your peace with Mitt Romney by November. But if you're somewhat conservative, who may even lean toward the independent or even the Democratic side on occasion, you're going to want to have some type of connection with the Republican nominee. If it's Mitt Romney, that's a strong connection. He's won somewhat conservative voters in every state but South Carolina.
Do we see any sign for Gingrich moving forward? Anything he can lesson he can take from this race?
Well, you know, it's funny. Matt talks about how Gingrich didn't present a positive enough program except for his moon program, and there aren't many voters on the moon. There weren't even apparently enough space industry voters to help him here. But I think he also lost because he didn't go tough enough on Romney in the debates. Who knew that Mitt Romney in two debates would be tougher on Gingrich, more ready to go after Gingrich than Gingrich would be to go after him? Gingrich profited. He won South Carolina during those two debates, especially by going negative on the media, but also by looking very strong and ready to take on Obama. In these debates, Mitt Romney went in as a completely different person. He knew he had to take Gingrich apart, and he did a pretty effective job of it.
That's E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and Matthew Continetti, contributing editor for The Weekly Standard. There's more discussion online tonight at our website, npr.org. Click on the It's All Politics blog and let us know what you think in the comments section. This is special coverage from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from America's Natural Gas Alliance, whose members are participating in an online registry providing drilling information to the public, fracfocus.org.
From NPR News, this is special coverage of the Florida Republican primary. I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Robert Siegel. To recap the outcome in Florida, NPR is projecting a solid victory for Mitt Romney. His supporters suspected that call was coming right at 8 o'clock Eastern. Romney supporters, they're in Tampa celebrating a commanding win in Florida.
Second place goes to Newt Gingrich, and it appears Rick Santorum will end up in third place, followed by Ron Paul in fourth. Exit polls tell us that electability was a key concern on the minds of Florida's Republican voters. By a wide margin, they saw Romney as the candidate who could beat President Obama. We're going to speak now with Newt Gingrich's Florida campaign chairman, Bill McCollum. The former congressman is joining us by phone from Orlando, Florida. Welcome.
Hi, I'm glad to be with you. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
So, Congressman McCollum, to start, what happened here to Newt Gingrich coming out of South Carolina?
Well, I think we were outspent in a very vicious campaign. Romney spent us 4-5-1. He had nothing but attack ads going on, and they were very vicious. I don't think he really wanted to talk about the issues. And Newt's campaign did not have the ability to fire back, although he may have done it with the media itself, the earned media, not with the paid media. I got 8 mailers in my home alone in 3 days from the Romney campaign, and we didn't have anything even close to that. So I think that what we see, though, is Gingrich is still leading in the national polls. I think this will give a boost, of course, to Romney in the next few days, just as South Carolina did to Newt Gingrich after he won. But this is a long way from deciding anything. The Tea Party groups, the evangelicals, the base of the party, all fired up for Gingrich. You see those exit polling numbers and so forth tonight that show that.
But what does this mean for
goes on from here?
What does this mean for Mr. Gingrich's, momentum going forward?
Well, of course, it just as it was difficult for Romney coming out of South Carolina, there was a certain stall for a couple of days. But the big deciding races now coming up are not till March the 6th. And we've got the Kane and the Perry endorsements. There were only 50 delegates decided here, if that. And they may be contested because there are rules issues, as you know, with the Republican National Committee on apportionment. So what I see now is that we have 1,144 delegates are required to win. Romney will have, if this holds here in terms of no apportionment, 83. Gingrich has 25. And there won't be a Santorum essentially in the race going after this. So there's going to be a coalescing of the conservatives who really prefer Newt Gingrich. And there'll be other debates in which Gingrich will have the chance to reclaim the lead in that format, which is best for him, although he didn't perform as well last Thursday night.
Mr. McCollum, it's Robert Siegel there. I wanted to ask you about exactly that. Why did Newt Gingrich appear to perform so poorly in the debates in Florida, so weakly, after being so forceful and dynamic in South Carolina?
Well, I think that he got pulled back on his heels at that very first question. I think the format was different that Wolf Blitzer had. And in both of those two debates in Florida, both Brian Williams and Wolf Blitzer chose to give the opportunity to Romney to come on the attack at the very beginning. I mean, the question on immigration from the audience, but that question clearly was understood before that occurred, that this was going to be the nature of it. And so, it was a very difficult format for him to respond to. And I think he'll need some coaching maybe a little bit on how to do it if they try that again. The debates the week before that Fox held were very different, and the format was very different. So it has a lot to do with how the questions and how the moderator handles the questions that are asked and who they go to. And obviously, Romney was coming out trying to look stronger. They coached him to be aggressive and go after him and all that sort of thing, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a long way to go to the next debate, Mr. McCollum.
Well, but it is a long way to go to the next debate, but there's not very many delegates to be decided in either. And we have we're better cash on hand than we were coming out of South Carolina. We're doing well in terms of fundraising right now. And I think that based on the fact that Newt Gingrich has had 3 lives already, he's been down and out for 3 counts, I think he's coming for a 4th. And I think that you underestimate him if you think that's not the case. This is probably going to be much like the Reagan-Ford fight in 1976 and goes on to the convention, because just look at what states are voting in these primaries on the 13th and on the 6th of March. And there are 76 delegates decided in Georgia alone. There are 90 delegates decided between Alabama and Mississippi. There's Tennessee. There's Oklahoma. And I think Arizona will be a good battleground for him. It's a very conservative state.
And so, I'm sorry to stop you there, former Congressman Bill McCollum. He's Newt Gingrich's Florida campaign chairman. Thanks so much for talking with us.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And as we're waiting for Mitt Romney, the projected winner in Florida today, to address his campaign headquarters, we're going to hear now about the Ron Paul campaign. Doug Weed, a campaign advisor to the Paul Campaign, presidential historian, joins us now by phone from here in Washington, D.C. This is a regular appointment we have on these evenings to talk with you. Ron Paul is coming in single digits here, it would appear, in Florida. Can you make anything of that other than that he ran rather weakly there?
No. He didn't put a lot of money in the state because it was winner take all, and he's going after delegates. So it was a calculated decision that he made. The victory by Newt Gingrich in South Carolina assured us that the race was going to go on a bit longer than it might have otherwise. And so that gave us the luxury of picking and choosing some states and where we would make our play.
You know, when I asked Congressman Paul last week where down the road, where he might do well, he said, I don't even know what's coming up when. I don't even look at the schedule. So since you're an advisor, I assume you've looked at the schedule. Where should he do well? Tell us a state where Ron Paul will do very well as a candidate in a caucus or
in
a primary.
Now, you know I'm not going to answer that question because...
Well, let's not even say win. State, let's not even say win. Where can
Romney
he break...
and Goldman Sachs will drop $15 million into it.
But where might he break 25%, say, in a caucus or something? What's a state that he's strong in right now?
Yeah. Well, that could happen in quite a number of the caucuses that we're approaching from Minnesota and Colorado, Oklahoma. There's a number of states where that could happen. Virginia will be a very interesting race, as you know, because Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum aren't even on the ballot. So it'll be interesting to see how the votes play there. We're very pleased with this last Gallup poll that confirmed the Washington Post ABC poll and the NBC Marist poll that show Ron Paul and Mitt Romney as the only two candidates who beat, within a statistical margin of error, Barack Obama, better than Newt Gingrich. So that was an encouragement inside the campaign.
So some good news there. Is the campaign still well-funded, or has it spent everything that it's raised so far?
It's well-funded because our funds are not coming from the big banks. I mean, you look down the list of the major donors to Barack Obama's super PAC, they're identical to Mitt Romney's, starting with Goldman Sachs and then J.P. Morgan and Barclays and right down the list. Ours come from the grassroots. They're small donors. They're $20 donations, $10 donations, and they keep coming whenever we have a money bomb. So that keeps us going.
Well, Doug Weed, thanks a lot for talking with us once again.
You're welcome.
That is a presidential historian and a Ron Paul campaign advisor, Doug Weed. Again, the news here on this day of the Florida primary is that Mitt Romney's won it, and he's won it with a very strong showing. This is special coverage of the Florida primary from NPR News.
From NPR News, this is live coverage of the Florida primary. I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The polls are closed. The final results are being tallied. But NPR is projecting Mitt Romney, the winner of a bitterly fought contest.
Republicans reversed the momentum of former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, who took second place.
This is special coverage of the Florida primary. from NPR News.
We are joined in the studio by NPR's national political correspondent, NPR's Mara Liasson. Hey there, Mara.
Hello, Wadi.
So give us a sense of what happened here. What does Gingrich have to do to stay relevant?
Well, what happened here was that Romney got the scare of his life in South Carolina when Gingrich beat him there. He came into Florida and he used his formidable fundraising advantage. He had a 5-to-1 fundraising advantage over Gingrich. He put on an avalanche of attack ads on Florida television. At one point, according to an analysis, there were 13,000 Romney ads on Florida TV and 200 Gingrich ads. That plus a vastly improved performance in the debates, where he was much more assertive and aggressive, relentlessly aggressive, giving the kind of performance that Republicans want to see, because that's what they want to see in the fall against Barack Obama. Those two factors coupled with something else that was really surprising to a lot of people, which is that Gingrich kind of fell apart in the debates. He didn't turn in the commanding performance that he had turned in South Carolina to his great benefit. And those three things combined added up, plus Romney's on-the-ground organization, to a really big win tonight. Gingrich also was remarkably undisciplined. That wasn't a surprise, actually.
But some of these things you're saying aren't new, and they weren't new going into South Carolina. No money, people talking about discipline,
yes,
little
but Florida's a very different state, and it's a state where all those things that I mentioned really matter a lot. Florida is a state, it's a battleground state, first of all, and here he is coming up to the podium right now.
Yeah, Mitt Romney proceeded to the podium at his campaign headquarters by his wife and his sons, and now he's about to address his supporters on the night of his big comeback from that South Carolina loss, a strong
Thank
victory
you.
In the Florida Republican primary.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you to the people in this room and to the people all over Florida. Thank you tonight for this great victory. There are fewer candidates tonight than when the race began, but three gentlemen are serious and able competitors, and they're still in the race, and I want to congratulate them on another hard-fought contest in this campaign. Primary contests are not easy, and they're not supposed to be. As this primary unfolds, our opponents in the other party have been watching, and they like to comfort themselves with the thought that a competitive campaign will leave us divided and weak. But I've got news for them. A competitive primary does not divide us, it prepares us, and we will win. And when we gather back here in Tampa 7 months from now for our convention, ours will be a united party with a winning ticket for America. You know, 3 years ago this week, a newly elected President Obama faced the American people, and he said, look, if I can't turn this economy around in 3 years, I'll be looking at a one-term proposition, and we're here to collect. And you know the results. I mean, it's been 35 months of unemployment above 8%. And under this president, more Americans have lost their jobs and more home foreclosures have occurred than under the administration of any other president in history. And in the last 10 days, I met with a father who was terrified that this would be the last night his family would be able to sleep in the only home his son has known. I've met seniors who thought these would be the best years of their life, and now they're worried day to day about how to make ends meet. I met some Hispanic entrepreneurs who thought they'd achieved the American dream, and now they're seeing it disappear. In his State of the Union address, the president actually said these words. He says, "Let's remember now how we got here." Don't worry, Mr. President. We remember exactly how we got here. You won the election. Leadership is about taking responsibility, not making excuses. In another era of American crisis, Thomas Paine is reported to have said, "Lead, follow, or get out of the way." Well, Mr. President, you were elected to lead. You chose to follow. And now it's time for you to get out of the way.
This is special coverage from NPR News of the Florida Republican primary. Mitt Romney is addressing his headquarters in Tampa. He is forecast the winner in this primary today. He was gracious to his Republican rivals. He's been going after President Obama.
And to lead our nation. As a man who spent his life outside Washington, I know what it's like to start a business. I know how extraordinarily difficult it is to build something from nothing. I know how government kills jobs, and yes, I know how it can help from time to time. My leadership helped build businesses from scratch. My leadership helped save the Olympics from scandal and give our American athletes the chance to make us all proud as they did. My leadership cut taxes 19 times and cast over 800 vetoes. We balanced the budget every single year, and we kept our schools first in the nation. My leadership will end the Obama era and begin a new era of American prosperity. This campaign is about more than replacing a president. It's about saving the soul of America. President Obama and I have very different visions of America. President Obama wants to grow government and continue to amass trillion-dollar deficits. I will not just slow the growth of government. I will cut the spending of government. I will not just freeze government share of the total economy. I will reduce it, and without raising taxes, I will finally get America to a balanced budget. President Obama's view of a free economy is to send your money to his friends. My vision for a free enterprise economy is to return entrepreneurship and the genius and creativity to the American people. On one of the most personal matters of our lives, our health care, President Obama would turn decision-making over to government bureaucrats. He forced through Obamacare, and I will repeal it. You know, like his colleagues in the faculty lounge who think they know better, President Obama demonizes and denigrates almost every sector of our economy. I will make America the most attractive place in the world for entrepreneurs, for innovators, for job creators. And unlike the other people running for president, I know how to do that because I've done it before. President Obama orders religious organizations to violate their conscience. I will defend religious liberty and overturn regulations that trample on our first freedom. President Obama believes that our role as leader in the world is a thing of the past. He's intent on shrinking our military capacity at a time when the world is facing rising threats. I will insist on a military so powerful, no one would ever think of challenging it. President Obama has adopted a policy of appeasement and apology. I will speak out for those seeking freedom, and I will stand shoulder to shoulder with our friends around the world. You see, President Obama wants to fundamentally transform America and make it something perhaps we wouldn't recognize. I want to restore to America the values and principles that made us the hope of the earth, and I'll do it. Our plans protect freedom and opportunity, and our blueprint is the Constitution of the United States. Together, we will build an America where hope is a new job with a paycheck, not a faded word and an old bumper sticker. Now, let me be clear. The path I lay out is not one paved with ever-increasing government checks and cradle-to-grave assurance that government will always be the solution. If this election is a bidding war for who can promise the most goodies and the most benefits, that I'm not your president. You have that president today. But if you want to make this election about restoring American greatness, then I hope you'll join us. If you believe the disappointments of the last few years are a detour and not our destiny, then I'm asking for your vote. I'm asking each of you to remember how special it is to be an American. I want you to remember what it was like to be hopeful and excited about the future and not to dread each new headline. I want you to remember when you spent more time dreaming about where to send your kids to college than wondering how you'd make it to the next paycheck. I want you to remember when you weren't afraid to look at your retirement savings or the price at the gas pump. I want you to remember when our White House reflected the best of who we are, not the worst of what Europe has become. That America is still out there. We believe in that America. We still believe in the America that is the land of opportunity and a beacon of freedom. We believe in the America that challenges each of us to be bigger and better than ourselves. This election, let's fight for the America we love. We believe in America. Thank you so much, Florida. You're the best. God bless the United States of America. Thank you. Thank you.
Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney addressing his supporters at his campaign headquarters in Florida, in Tampa. He's the winner today in the Florida primary. He spoke of a campaign to restore American greatness, a campaign that is against President Obama in the fall. He referred to his Republican rivals, Audie, not by name, but talked about this competitive primary season that will not harm the party, but prepare it for the general election campaign, and then got to his main business, which is talking about why his campaign is preferable to President Obama's re-election.
They're definitely addressing some of that murmuring out there about whether he can withstand all of this bruising going on in a long campaign primary, especially in a race where the other candidates aren't showing any signs that they're ready to walk away, at least not just yet. Here in the studio with us is NPR's Mara Liasson. Mara, let's talk a little bit about what we just heard from Mitt Romney. Is he back on the script from before?
Yes.
South Carolina, or has his candidate changed?
No, he's back on the script. I think that he has been running a general election campaign almost from the start, and he had to take a little detour because he had to dispatch Newt Gingrich. Tonight he sounded like he'd done that job, and he was back to the project of attacking Barack Obama, keeping his eye on the main target. Let's remember how we got here, the president said in the State of the Union. Well, I remember exactly how we got here. You got elected. He contrasted his version of America with the European version of America that Barack Obama believes in. It's interesting. He says, somehow or other, Barack Obama is doing something that's un-American. That's the subtext of this speech. And I think we're going to hear a lot about that in the fall.
Was there anything that surprised you out of the speech?
No, a lot of this is themes that we've heard Romney talk about before. His leadership, he's running mostly on his resume. Many conservatives in the Republican Party think that's not the best recipe for the fall, but he is relying on his recipe. My leadership in the private sector, my leadership at the Olympics, I know how to turn the country around. I will restore prosperity. He doesn't have a big reform plan. But he does have his own experience to sell, and that's what he's selling.
And we want to bring in here Andy Cohut, president of the Pew Research Center. Andy, you heard the speech as well. Is there anything there that surprised you?
Well, I've been looking at these exit polls, and I'm so taken by what's happened here that what he said has had less of an impact on me than the numbers. We see in this campaign the most extraordinary example of how money matters. 39% of the people that were polled said that advertising mattered to them. Romney won that group by a 52-29% margin. Among the other people who said that advertising didn't win, it was a toss-up. In every element of this campaign, Romney going on the attack worked. And the prospect of his going back on the attack, if he's challenged, irrespective of what his approach has been, is pretty good if his people look at these numbers.
Andy, I want to ask you about what you see in these exit polls this evening, but also in the polling generally, and a general cast to the Romney speech and to the Romney campaign, which is that it is necessary, in his view, to restore American greatness, that we've lost something, that the country is not the way it should be, that there was a different time when we felt confident about how we pay for our kids' college and we don't now. Is he describing the country, when he talks to voters that way, is he describing the country in a way that voters see the United States?
Well, he's describing a public that is very down, very disaffected with conditions, and very uncertain about the future. Fewer people look at America as exceptional than did 10, 15 years ago. And that's an appropriate thing for a challenger to take on. The question is whether they will have confidence in Romney or
in him to solve it.
Him to solve it. Yeah. And his favorable ratings nationwide are relatively modest. Not that Barack Obama's in such great shape, but we have the contrast between the challenging candidates who are not well regarded, and a president whose judgments and performance has been questioned. What a choice for the American public.
That's Andrew Cohut, the president of the Pew Research Center. He's joining us in the studio this evening as we report on the results of the Florida Republican presidential primary. Mitt Romney is the winner. Newt Gingrich has come in second. This is special coverage from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from CSX, transporting 2 billion pounds of goods to market by train and working to help move the economy forward. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. Excuse me. This is special coverage of the Florida Republican primary. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Audie Cornish. A new era of American prosperity. That was the promise from tonight's winner, Mitt Romney. He said his leadership will end the Obama era.
The venture capitalist and former Massachusetts governor spoke to supporters after a hard-fought race in Florida. Tonight, Romney turned his attention back to the president.
Together, we will build an America where hope is a new job with a paycheck, not a faded word and an old bumper sticker.
Returns are still coming in from Florida, but it's clear that Mitt Romney has won by a large margin. NPR projects that Newt Gingrich has finished in second place, and it appears that Rick Santorum took third and Ron Paul fourth. Joining us right now from Tampa is Senator Jim Talent, former Missouri Republican senator, and he's an economic advisor and obviously supporter of Mitt Romney's presidential campaign. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Robert. Great to be with you.
And let me ask you, we heard Mitt Romney not too long ago say that a competitive primary doesn't harm the party. It prepares the party for the general election. We've had 10 days of a tremendous amount of negative advertising. It doesn't seem to have added to the positive impressions that people have of either Mitt Romney or Newt Gingrich. Is it going to hurt for this to go on much longer, to have someone like Newt Gingrich making very, very sharp attacks against Mitt Romney?
No, I really think that the party will pull together in part because of a belief that the country is in very difficult shape and we have to provide the leadership that the president has not provided, and particularly in turning the economy around.
But will you pull together around a leading candidate if it's Mitt Romney, who's been accused for his business practices, who's been accused of depriving Jewish retirees of kosher food when he was governor in Massachusetts, all kinds of accusations.
Well, those charges are so, I mean, they're so specious. I just think that, in fact, I think they hurt Speaker Gingrich. But I think at the end of the day, this party pulls together. I agree with what Governor Romney said. There's a tremendous desire on the part of Republicans, and let's face it, many independents as well, for a change in leadership in Washington. And I think that's going to be the dominating theme of the general election. Certainly will be if Governor Romney is indeed the nominee. He's going to talk about getting this economy moving. That's his bailiwick, that's his wheelhouse, and that's where he's going to go.
In each of the primaries, we've compared the Republican turnout this time to 4 years ago. This year, once again, it doesn't seem to be significantly larger. It may be the same, possibly a little bit less than it was in Florida 4 years ago. 39%, I believe, of people polled, or 40%, said they'd like to see somebody else in the race. Does this suggest to you not as enthusiastic a Republican primary electorate as you'd like to see?
You know, people talk about in election from election the turnouts are going to be much higher. They usually stay pretty much according to the models that predict them. I mean, the significant thing about all four of the first primaries or caucuses, even South Carolina, is that Romney has substantially grown his strength and his following within the Republican Party. Even in South Carolina, he got almost double what he got 4 years ago. So, I mean, that to me is the story, that he has a very solid core of support, and it's growing. And he took Florida this time handily, and of course, 4 years ago, lost it to John McCain.
Certainly a good night for your man there. Thank you very much for talking with
us. Thank you, Robert.
Former Senator Jim Talent, a Republican of Missouri, who is an economic advisor to the Mitt Romney campaign.
We're turning now to NPR's Greg Allen. He talked with Florida voters today. He's at the Casa Marine restaurant in Hialeah, Florida, near Miami. Hi there, Greg.
Hi, Audie. How are you doing?
Pretty good. It sounds pretty boisterous there. What are you hearing from your voters today?
Well, I spoke a lot here tonight at Casa Marine with members of the Cuban American community. That's who this party is really for. These are the people who really got together and mobilized for Mitt Romney here. This is the same place they had a rally on Sunday. They're here tonight for a victory party, and they're very excited. Although it's interesting, they didn't have cable TV at this restaurant, so we were watching a local Spanish language channel, which broke in every now and then with results. But they're having a good time anyhow, and finally someone told them that Romney had won, and that's what's led to all the boisterousness here now tonight.
And Greg, we've heard a lot about the Latino vote in Florida with the Republican electorate. Do you have any sense of sort of what were the issues for those voters?
Well, it's interesting because I think people, you know, as you all know, the Cuban-American community here in Florida is different from the Hispanic communities elsewhere. It's not monolithic, as we always hear. And here, immigration plays much differently than it does elsewhere. I was talking to a city councilman from Hialeah tonight, Paul Hernandez. His entire city council supported Romney, as did the whole city. And I asked him, why do you folks support Romney? Here's what he had to say.
People admire that this was a man who made it
in the private sector not only made it, I mean, succeeded very well in the private sector. And that's something that our elector looks at as admirable, because it's the American dream. It's fulfilling the American dream. It's what our people come from other countries to do. This is a man who did it. And another thing, he is the person who has great backing.
And what he means by great backing there, Audie, is the backing of congressmen like Mario Diaz-Balart, the former congressman, his brother Lincoln Diaz-Balart, Ileana Ross Layton, who are very important people in this community here. They're people with long-standing leadership roles here. And the Cuban-American community looks to these people for guidance. They all supported Mitt Romney in a big way, and that is a key reason why he did so well here tonight.
All right, Greg, thanks so much for talking with us. Hey, Mara, we just heard from Greg outside of Miami with a very loud and excited group. What did we learn about Latino voters, Latino Republicans in this election that we should pay attention to going forward?
Well, Latino Republicans in Florida are a unique bunch because most of them are Cuban and a lot of them are Puerto Rican. And those two groups do not have the same kind of immigration problems as others. Puerto Ricans are American citizens.
Yeah.
And Cubans came to America under very special rules that allow them to immigrate. They don't have the problems of other Hispanics. Romney did very well among Cuban Americans. He won the Hispanic vote. He had the support of the Hispanic establishment, the Hispanic Republican establishment in Florida. However, there are many Republicans I've talked to and conservative Hispanic leaders who think that the tone of the debate about immigration might come back to haunt Romney in a general election. He talked about self-deportation. He took a position to the right, first of Rick Perry, then of Newt Gingrich, both of whom were more moderate than he was turned out to be on immigration. And that might hurt him in the general election among Hispanics. Now, there are also a lot of Republicans who think all he has to do is put Marco Rubio on the ticket and all of those sins will be washed away. I don't know. But it definitely is one of the things that he will probably work hard to correct once he feels confident that he's the nominee.
We should point out the next round in the Republican nominating process is in Nevada. And Nevada is a largely Latino state. However, there the Hispanic population is overwhelmingly of Mexican origin, so it's a different group. There are Latino Republicans in Nevada, and it's an issue for them, especially how people talk about
immigration. Right. The tone is really important. The states going forward, of course, are very Romney-friendly states, mostly because they have big Mormon populations, or in the case of Michigan, they're his own home state.
And at the same time, you still have the other candidates talking about those states favorably because they're going to be caucuses for a while before there are primaries. So there's still a ways to go. Mara, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You can follow all the latest results and find more analysis at our website, npr.org.
This is special coverage of the Florida primary from NPR News.